You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So today is Transfiguration Sunday, the Sunday in the church year right before the season of Lent begins. It's the time when we remember this mystical encounter that Jesus had on a mountain with three of his disciples. This mountaintop setting with the bright light, the voice of God, they all echo the account of Moses on the mountain receiving the law from God. Jesus was seen sometimes as the new Moses. The Bible tells us that Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So the church has established over the years the season of Lent, a 40-day period from Ash Wednesday through Easter Sunday, not counting Sundays, for those of you who are doing the math at home. And in that time, in this season of Lent, it's a time for us to acknowledge the reality of sin, to really reflect on our own lives, to receive God's word anew, kind of like Moses did on the mountain, and to gain new clarity as followers of Jesus, as people who call ourselves Christians, and what that means for us. So we're entering into that season with this reading from Matthew's gospel. Now, a few other points before we jump into the reading. Mountains play a prominent feature in the gospel according to Matthew. There's the Sermon on the Mount that starts in chapter 5, and then the concluding moment in the gospel when Jesus, after the resurrection, is speaking to the disciples, giving them what's called the Great Commission. He does that from a mountain as well. The word transfiguration is the same Greek root word as metamorphosis. So when you hear that word transfiguration, you can think about, you know, the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You can think about a transformation that might be a physical transformation, or maybe a spiritual transformation. It's the same word that's used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Be metamorphosized, if you will, by the renewing of your minds. One more quick final thing. The reading begins 6 days later. And when you see something like that, it's meant to make you think, well, what happened 6 days ago? Well, if you read back in chapter 16, you'll see that Jesus and Peter had been discussing the identity of Jesus with the core affirmation of the gospel. Peter says to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It's like he's got it figured out. And then Jesus proceeds to teach Peter what that means and what being a disciple means. And Jesus shares some of his more challenging teachings with Peter about sacrificial love. He says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it." So that's the context as our reading begins today. Listen now for God's word from Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Thanks be to God for the words of the gospel. I love mountains. I've been lucky enough to hike up mountains in New England and mountains in Colorado. And last year, I got to go on two mountain hikes. We had a mission trip to Peru in the summer, and at the end of that trip, six of us got to climb Huayna Picchu, overlooking the Machu Picchu ruins in Peru. It was absolutely spectacular. And then in December, our family went to Virginia, and the four of us got to climb Old Rag Mountain in central Virginia. That's my son standing on that rock over there waving to the camera. We had a wonderful, wonderful time there. I love the challenge of hiking up a mountain. I love the views from the top. I love the fresh air and the sense of clarity that you get on top of a mountain. To me, when I'm on top of a mountain, things seem more visible, more fresh, more present. I feel more awake, more alert, more alive when I'm on top of a mountain. So I understand why in the Bible so many important things happen on mountaintops. In Celtic spirituality, mountaintops are thought of as thin places, places anywhere, a mountain, an ocean, a river, a retreat center, a cemetery, a church, places where the space between God and people is just a little thinner, a little less, where God might be more visible, more present, easier to hear. I'm guessing we've all been to thin places, or maybe had thin place moments in our lives, times when God seems more present, more vibrant, when God's word makes more sense to us, when God's will seems clearer to us, when it seems easier to sense God is really speaking to us and calling us. I'm guessing we've all had those moments, but those moments are few and far between. Those places are hard to find and the moments are rare. On the mountain of Transfiguration, God's voice said to the three disciples, "This is my son, listen to him." And then shortly after that, they went down the mountain. My hunch is that God said that to the disciples, said, "Listen to him," for that was a message for them to take with them down the mountain. They couldn't stay on the mountaintop forever. So they got back down the mountain. They started fishing and planting, whatever else they did in their daily routines 2,000 years ago. They were meant to listen to Jesus then. I think the challenge for us today in our busy and noisy 21st century lives is to listen to Jesus, to listen for God's call in the midst of our busy and noisy daily routines. We might sense God speaking to us very clearly on a mountain, or maybe in a hospital room, or maybe in the woods, or maybe even in church. Those might be thin places for us today. But our calling, our task is to hear God in all of our lives, at work, at school, around the dinner table, walking the dog, when we're stuck in traffic, wherever we are. Too often we just don't hear God in our daily routines. We go about our business, we kind of sleepwalk through life, and we miss the voice of God. Listening for God is hard work. One of the main reasons I think listening for God today is so hard is because our communication technology is so good. Our TVs, our radios, our computers, our tablets, our phones, we have all these devices that speak to us on a regular basis in all sorts of ways. And they're constantly interrupting our lives with breaking news and status updates and coupons for products we didn't even know existed and notifications about all sorts of things. We're barraged by noise, things that call for us to listen. All this noise in our lives makes it hard for us to listen for God. A few years ago, there was a commercial for a wireless provider. The catch line was, "Can you hear me now?" Right? Some of you probably can see the commercial in your mind. It's a great marketing strategy. And I think it's a profoundly spiritual question as well. Can we hear God? Can we really hear God? When and where in our lives do we have time and space to really listen for God? Do you have a thin place, a quiet place, a routine in your life? When was the last time you turned off the screens and sat quietly and really listened with the hope that God would speak? We're entering into the season of Lent now, and so that's a time when people often give up things. And that's noble and that's good, but we need to remember Lent's not a diet program, but Lent is an opportunity for us to get closer to God. And so while giving up something is good, maybe we want to take on something, or at least open our ears as we enter the season of Lent to listen for God. Maybe we need to get outside more. We're not all going to get the chance to climb a mountain, but hey, a day like today, the sun shining, the fresh air, take some deep breaths, enjoy creation. Maybe we need a little more silence, a little more quiet in our lives. Maybe we need to use the technology in our lives a little bit more appropriately. You know, if we have time to watch bad movies, to scroll through social media posts, to watch every single Badger game, to get stock and weather updates on a regular basis, if we have time to do all those things, we can probably make some time and some space to listen for God. So I've got three opportunities for you, three invitations for you to do that in this season of Lent. Number one is to make use of that Lenten devotional. We have hard copies available. It's on our website, and you can get daily emails. An opportunity to read the words that people in this church wrote, to read scripture, to read through the entire gospel according to Matthew, and to prayerfully grow as God's people. One opportunity. Second opportunity is to enjoy some silence, to enjoy a little quiet time. So maybe the next time you're about to get on Facebook or turn on Netflix, maybe you could take just a minute or two or five and just sit in silence. You know, if you've got time to get on the internet or the TV or whatever and do all that stuff, maybe just a minute or so, just to be grounded, to take a few deep breaths and refocus yourself a little bit. You know, you can do that with your phones. Every phone has some sort of timer device on it. I've got my phone right here. I just set the timer for 30 seconds. I'm going to take 30 seconds of silence right here, right now. I invite you to just take a few deep breaths. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. So there you go, 30 seconds. And in case you need a reminder about listening for God, the importance of listening to God, the word listen, and you rearrange the letters, guess what you get? Silent. So there's your little anagram reminder for the day. My third and final suggestion for you, in addition to getting outside, in addition to using your phone and listening to it very carefully, I invite you to make good use of your internet, to make good use of your phone. Actually, if you have a cell phone, let me invite you to take it out right now. Take it out and hold it in your hand. Sometimes we say, oh, don't use your phones in church, but that's, you know, we need to be smart about how we use our phones. And take a look at your phone and think about, or if you don't have a phone, think about how you've used the telephone or the internet or the TV. Think about how you've used that in the last 24 hours. Maybe you've talked to a friend or a family member. Maybe you've shared some laughs or some heartfelt relationship issues. Maybe you sent some important messages. Maybe you read some important articles. Maybe you watched some really awesome puppy videos, you know? All sorts of possibilities, right? Well, when you use your phone this week, let me invite you to be mindful about it and to listen through your phone how God might be speaking to you through your friends and your family, through the conversations that you have, through the text messages you send, through the emails you read, through the news articles that you read. Maybe you can pray for the world around and ask God to use you in difficult and challenging circumstances. And maybe when you watch the puppy videos, you can give thanks to God for the joy and wonder of life. And maybe you can try a new app or two. There are some wonderful apps out there. There's a A lot of options out there. I just want to suggest one. It was on the screen a second ago. There we go. The YouVersion app. It's a Bible app. I've got it on my phone here. I use it on a regular basis. I know some people in this congregation too. You can do all sorts of things with it. Basically, it's Bible reading. You can read the King James. You can read the Message. You can read the New Revised Standard Version. You can do all sorts of things. You can read it in different languages: Spanish, French, German, Turkish, Mongolian, Swahili, all sorts of language opportunities. You can even listen to the Bible as you're driving along. I've been listening to the Gospel according to Matthew in my car. Let me show you. That's what my car looks like. I've been listening to it, and you can hear God's word right through your car. Let me play just a little bit for you right here.
Saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers.
And so it goes. You can listen to your Bible out loud if you like. All sorts of opportunities to learn and grow. The YouVersion Bible app. I highly recommend it. There are a lot of great apps out there. That's just one of them. So we're called to listen. We're called to listen. Many of you grew up with parents who on a regular basis, if not a daily basis, told you repeatedly the same things over and over again. Some of you are parents right now and doing that very same thing. Do your homework, make your bed, brush and floss, be nice to your brother, your sister, your cousin, your friend, your neighbor, clean up your dishes, clean up your room, make your bed, be nice, I love you. Right? We heard those messages over and over and over again. Sometimes we heard them, sometimes we ignored them, but our parents, good, loving, faithful parents, repeat those messages over and over and over again until the children get it. Parents hope their kids are listening. Well, the good news for us is that God speaks persistently to us and doesn't give up on us if we don't get the message the first time. In Jesus Christ, God continues to speak to us, and as Christians, we need to listen. Love God, love your neighbor. Love your enemy. The kingdom of God is among you. Humble yourselves. Do not judge. You cannot love both God and money. Take up your cross and follow. I am with you always. God continues to speak to us, to encourage us, to guide us, to teach us, to let us know that we're loved. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we enter into this season of Lent, wake us up. Help us to not sleepwalk through life. Wake us up and open our ears so we can hear your message of love and be transformed. Amen.